Let us go into the house of the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. To one who bears the sweetest name and adds all luster to the same, long life to her, for there's no other can take the place of our dear mother. Today is May 8th, Mother's Day 2022, and welcome to Taylor Tabernacle Live. Welcome, Taylor Nation. Welcome to everyone in the sanctuary. And welcome to everyone that is joining us through Facebook and YouTube Live. We are streaming from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the city of brotherly and motherly love, where Elder Jonathan E. Ford is our beloved pastor and overseer. Happiest of Mother's Day to all the mothers, stepmothers, godmothers, grandmothers, women who have stood in the gap for mothers, mothers of every make and model. Thank you for all that you do to mold and shape our future. We are thankful to everyone who has joined with us this morning to celebrate Jesus Christ, God's masterpiece. God took the fragrance of a flower, the majesty of a tree, the gentleness of morning dew, the calm of a quiet sea, the beauty of the twilight hour, the soul of a starry night, the laughter of a rippling brook, the grace of a bird in flight. Then fashioned from these things a creation like no other, and when his masterpiece was through, he simply called it Mother. I am asking that all who are able to stand and join with me now as we enter into a prayer of thanksgiving, which is going to be followed by our scripture text for this morning. Father, I stretch my hands to thee, no other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, whither, Lord, shall I go? Father, we come to you this morning with thanksgiving. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. We thank you, dear Father, for your Son and for his sacrifice. Thank you, God, that you created woman for man, but mothers for all mankind. Gracious God, we thank you for adopting us into your family through the miracle of your grace, and for calling us to be brothers and sisters to one another. Today, loving God, we pray for our mothers, mothers who cared for us when we were helpless, mothers who comforted us when we were hurting, those who love and care we sometimes took for granted. Today, we pray for those who are grieving the loss of their mothers, those who never knew their biological mothers and now they yearn for her, those who have experienced the wonder of an adopted mother's love. Families that are separated by conflict, dear Father, give them a special blessing. Keep us united with you and with each other so that we can be and become all that we are intended to be. We lift up all mothers to your love and your care, dear Father. We pray for them, for their needs, for their strength, and for their support to nurture their families in love and honor of you. Lord Jesus Christ, we call upon your blessed name to bless all mothers today and every day. Extend your hands of grace over them. We're thankful for the opportunity to gather together in your name and to learn of you. And we're thankful for your living word. Please allow it to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathways. Help us to plant it within the deep recesses of our hearts and allow it to bloom there so that we can teach men, women, boys, and girls about the living Savior. Continue to bless us, dear Father. Continue to keep us. And please, dear Father, continue to deliver us. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen.
Our scripture text is going to come from Judges, the 5th chapter, verses 6 and 7. That's Judges, the 5th chapter, verses 6 and 7. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were deserted, and the travelers walked along the byways. Village life ceased. It ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. Lord, your word is eternally blessed. At this time, I don't know if we're ready, we're going to welcome in our praise and worship team for a sermonic selection. So give them a couple of seconds. I guess they're getting themselves together. Happy Mother's Day.
I'm not 100% sure.
I'm going to call up Minister Cindy. She's going to fill a little time. Come on, Minister Cindy, come on.
You're better at this than I am. And I'm going to go find our praise and worship team.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
When there's a space and time, prayer always fills the gap. Amen. Prayer always fills the gap. It's always appropriate and it's right on time. So let's go to the Lord for a few minutes of prayer, because we want to keep the altar of the Lord hot.
Amen.
It's an altar. It's an altar, and we need to keep the altar hot so that the altar of the Lord will bring the fragrance of prayer so that God can dwell with us. So, Father God, we thank you this morning, God. We bless your holy name, God. We give you glory and honor in this place, God. We stand in awe of you, my God. We stand in awe of who you are, God. Let us not forget, God, that you are holy. Let us not forget, God, what you have done for us, oh God. Let us not forget, God, the place of remembrance, oh God. Let us not forget, this is our Ebenezer. This is the place. This is the place where we remember what God has done for us, God. And in that remembrance, my soul cries out, hallelujah. In that remembrance, my soul say, yes, Lord. My soul say, yes, God. I say, thank you, God. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy, God. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy, God. For your mercy endures forever, God. Your mercy endures forever. God, you are good. God, you are great, God. And we thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you for the rising of the sun, God. We thank you for the going down of the same, God. Today you blessed us to be here. Today you blessed us to stand on our feet this morning, God. We don't take it for granted, God. Many didn't make it this morning. Many didn't make it last year, God. But today, God, we are still standing. Today we're still standing, God, with our mouths full of praise, God, and our hearts full of thanksgiving, God. We say, Abba, we thank you, God. We bless your name, God. We say, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He alone is worthy to be praised. He alone is worthy to be exalted, God. So with our lips, let us exalt him. With our heart, let us exalt him. Let us remember, and the remembrance ought to unction you to give God glory. When you remember where he brought you from, when you remember what he saved you from, it ought to unction you. It ought to provoke you to say hallelujah. It ought to provoke you to say thank you, Jesus. We could do that all day long and never repay the debt that we owe. We'll never repay the debt that we owe because God has been mighty, mighty good. Are you thankful this morning? Are you thankful this morning? Life, health, and strength by his grace. By his grace. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, church. Hallelujah, church. Hallelujah, church. Come on, just spend some time worshiping with God right there. That beautiful prayer, God. Hallelujah, God. Come on, can we just say hallelujah?
Hallelujah. You have won the victory.
Come on, give me the highest praise. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You have won it all for me.
You have won it all for me.
Death did not hold you
down. Death did not hold you down.
Come on, he is our risen king.
He is our risen king.
You're seated in majesty. Hallelujah.
You're seated in majesty.
Hallelujah.
You are the risen King.
Come on,
hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have won the victory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
that fit and hold them down.
You are the risen King.
Where is he seated?
Seated in majesty. You are the risen King.
Death could not
hold you down.
Come on, death could not hold him down.
You are the risen King.
And you're seated in majesty, God.
Seated in majesty.
You are the risen King.
You are the risen King.
Death could not hold.
Death could not hold you down.
Oh, how many know death could not hold him down? The same way it could not hold him down.
You are the risen King.
God, he's the risen King. He's the only one that's seated.
Seated in majesty.
That's why we give him glory.
You are the risen King.
Hallelujah.
You are the risen King.
And you're seated in majesty, God.
Seated in majesty.
For you are the risen King.
You are the risen King.
Hallelujah. Go song, sing.
Hallelujah. You have won.
Lift your hands and sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You have won it all for me.
Sing hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah. You have won the victory.
Hallelujah. You just sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You have won it all for me.
Hallelujah. Can we give him praise right there? Hallelujah. Thank you for winning it all for me, God. Thank you for getting up. Thank you for not allowing death to hold you down, God. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, let's get up and clap our hands. Let's bless the Lord, oh my soul. Hallelujah, Jesus. How many people just want to bless God's name? Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, there's such an end there. It's a very simple song. You just want to bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. And I will
bless the Lord.
Oh, my soul.
On my
and I will
bless the Lord.
Come on, bless the Lord, church.
Oh, my soul. And all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
One more time. And I will. Great thing for me.
He has done great things.
Has he done something great for you?
He has done great things. Bless his holy name.
Can we do that again? Can we do that again? Come on, please. And he faith.
He has done great things.
He's done something great for you and great for me.
He has done great things.
Well, good morning and God bless you. And a happy Mother's Day to mothers everywhere. Amen. Come on, let's give our mothers a hand. Amen. Moms, we appreciate you. We thank you for what you have done for us, giving birth to us and positioning us to go forward into this world. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. We do thank God for another day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. And so we thank God not only for this Sunday, but we thank God especially for the remembrance of our mothers. Amen. And thank God for all of our mothers being here today. Thank God for all of the mothers that are joining us virtually online. We thank God for you. And it would only be befitting to remember and to say the names of the mothers that have served here in leadership. We thank God for our founding pastor, Dr. Carrie B. Taylor. Thank God for her legacy. We also thank God for our previous pastor, Matriarch Lucille R. Ford. Amen. We thank God that they were willing to respond to the call and to step in and provided the leadership for the church to go forward. So we thank God for them. We thank God for you. Just going to say a remark or two before we turn our attention to the Word of God. Just want to echo what I said on last Sunday, expressing how proud I am of you as a church for your continual support of the garden in the back of our church. If many of you were out on last Sunday and jumped in your jeans and shorts along with me and made progress with all the dirt and everything that we had on last Sunday, thank God for you. But as I told you, we had another round of dirt that was delivered on Monday. And the difference about dirt delivered on Monday compared to dirt delivered on Friday, on Monday, everybody's got to go back to work. But thanks be unto God for the volunteers who jumped in on Monday when the dirt was delivered. They came and they got that dirt down. They got it into all of the garden beds that we have out back. So if you didn't notice, when you get a chance, all of the garden beds have been filled with dirt, and the irrigation systems are starting to go in. A new trellis has been constructed on one of the outer garden beds. And so now folks can really begin to see the garden taking shape. Now, here's the good news today. There will be no work in the garden today. Amen. So somebody clap your hands. Today, when service is over, we are all going home. So thank God for that. I share a little tip with you. When I began preaching, one of the pastors told me, they said, you know, all the important days, Christmas, Easter, all that good stuff. They said, but on Mother's Day, you got one assignment, and that is to preach and preach quick. Do not cause mama to miss her brunch, her lunch, or her dinner because you up there hooping and hollering. What you will find next Sunday when you come to church, you will have a letter from the mother's board. And that's one letter you don't want to get. As long as the mothers are behind you, you got a shot. But if you fool around on their one day, so let the church say amen. Look, I learned that lesson, so I'm not going to fool around. Hey, I'm going to share this one last note with you before we move on. If you were in the garden on last Sunday, you heard it, but I just want to repeat it for the benefit of those that are here, and especially for the Taylor Nation that is online. We're so glad to welcome our newest member, Brother Derek Vassell. Derek, there he is, my man of God. Thank God for Brother Derek Vassell. I'm going to tell you, he's my man of God, and I'll tell you why I say that. He joined the church last Sunday and jumped immediately into the garden. He outworked all of us put together. I mean, he was in there getting it in, and we are grateful for his participation. And I'm grateful as a pastor for his energy in the ministry. Because he's not coming in sitting back. I mean, he come in and he's like, Pastor, let's get to it. Let's get to it. And so I just bless God for him joining the ministry and also being with us here today. Okay? So with that, let's turn our attention to the Word of God, if we may. I'm going to invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of St. Luke. The very first chapter. And there you will find a familiar story. I'm just going to use it to highlight some things out of the Word of God. Luke, the first chapter. My primary text is going to be verses 34 through 38. But I think I may back up a little just to give it some context. But if you get in the first chapter, you'll be in the ballpark. We're going to add to the witness out of the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, chapter 43 and verse 19. Okay? Luke, the first chapter. I think I'm going to start at verse 26 and I'll just flow it down to 38. Again, my primary portion of scripture is going to be 34 through 38. And then we'll add to the witness out of the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 19. Amen. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Okay? That's all background. This is what we're going to work with this morning in these next couple of verses. And then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." Verse 37, "For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed. Amen. That's good word, right? Let's add to the witness out of Isaiah. Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, verse 19. Let me add 18 for fun. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I told you a couple of weeks ago, when you see behold, that means what? Look, pay attention. This is important. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the middle of the desert. Amen. What I want to do this morning is preach a subject entitled Responding to the Call to Give Birth. Responding to the Call to Give Birth. Amen. Our Lord, holy and majestic is your name. We stand here in this sacred space, gathered around this sacred word, that you might say, that you might breathe on and into us the breath of life again. So many of us have grown weary. So many of us feel tired. And we need the Spirit of the Lord God to overshadow us one more time. Because God, if you would revive us again, we would be revived. If you would breathe on us again, we shall be able to live. That is why we have come. That is why we have fought through traffic. That is why we have come and assembled here in the house of God. To have you answer this question. Is there any word from the Lord? And I know and I believe you to be faithful. And I know that emphatically you will speak a word today into our hearts, into our lives, into our bodies, that we might live again. We thank you in advance. We give you a down payment on praise. Because we're so confident of what you and your word can do in the life of the believer. So we honor you and we thank you. And we bless your earthly mother, the one who found favor in the sight of God. And like her, may we also, by the manner in which we live, the manner in which we speak, may we also find favor with God. This is our prayer. We ask it in the name of the only begotten of God. All of God's people say amen, amen, and amen again. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. Anyone is out in the vestibule, we invite you in. God bless you. Responding to the call to give birth. Before I lose all of the men and young men on this message, let me just point out something that I think is critical at the outset. That is, to give birth to something such as an idea or a dream means to cause it to start to exist. Okay? To give birth to something means to cause it to start to exist. Okay? Now, if you're with me in the spirit, you should already have the sermon. Today, we're talking about responding to the call to give birth. And I wanted to set that definition out front because I don't want your thinking to be limited to natural birth. Okay? You can give birth to many different things other than just another human life. Amen? If you got it, say, I got it. Okay? Do I got the whole church? This is a message for the whole church. This isn't a Mother's Day sermon. This is what you call an in-time message. And it just so happens to fall on Mother's Day. Okay? So to give birth, whether to an ideal, a dream, a business, a church, anything, means to cause it to start to exist. Okay? So here we go. Let's look at this text. I'm just going to highlight a few points. Again, we're looking at primarily at verses 34 through 38. It says, and Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And I read the previous verses just to give us some context. We're familiar with the story from the Christmas holiday season. Mary receives a visit from the angel Gabriel, and we've read all that he said. Rejoice, highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among all women. And he tells her that you have been chosen by God to give birth, human birth, natural birth to his son. Okay? That's the message she has just received. Okay? And it's not a text. It's not a gram. It's not a DM. There is literally an angel standing in her kitchen as she walked in saying, Hail Mary. And he now, so first she's got to deal with that. It's not every day you come home and there's an angel standing in your kitchen. So first she's got to adjust to that. And then she's got to handle the message that he has now delivered. With, in short, that you have been chosen to give birth to the Son of God. Okay? So that, we got that. Everybody got that? And so now, this is how Mary responds to the call or the announcement that she is to give birth. Okay? Are you with me? This is for everybody. So here we are, verse 34. Here it is. Now we're into it. Then Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I do not know a man? Okay? Mary gathers herself, dealing with the fact there's an angel in my kitchen, dealing with the fact that this message said I am called to give birth to the Son of God. She gathers herself, and the first thing she says is, wait a minute, how is this even possible? Okay? She said, let me just step back and see if I can't get my arms around. One, I can't believe you're standing in my kitchen. And by the way, you got your hand on my microwave. Just for safety's sake, take that off. Sorry, now that we got that out. Now you're telling me that I am to give birth to the Son of Yahweh. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So her response, it makes sense to me. She says, how can it be? Because one, it's just so unbelievable. Okay? We've been taught to worship Yahweh, to worship the Lord Jehovah. And now you're telling me I am to give birth to his son. That's impossible. But, if I consider the fact that there's even some element of possibility to this. She said, if I were to just bring this back into the natural realm of things, how can this be? Because when you are called to give birth to a thing, like Mary, most often the first reaction is the impossibility of this ever happening, especially to someone like me. So there was the whole, the sheer impossibility of it just in general. But also you've got to understand, Mary is also saying, how could something so wonderful happen to something, to someone like me? You follow what I'm saying? There are other women. If this is the real deal, there are other women who are probably more qualified than me, right? There are probably more women who, like her cousin Elizabeth, who was at least married to a high priest. So I could understand if she would be chosen because she's connected to a holy man of God. So Mary responds and says, how can this be? This thing is too impossible. Even if it were to happen, it would never happen to someone like me. Does anyone out here today resonate or understand what I'm saying? That some of the things you look and see others doing, you feel comfortable with them doing it because you never imagine yourself doing something like that. I wish I had a real church. So she says, how can this be? And then she goes on, she said, angel Gabriel, let me make my point, because I do not, nor have I ever known a man. Okay? Saying this thing, not only do I not believe it can happen to someone like me, I don't think it could happen inside of me. Because according to the plan of God that He has instituted in the earth, that it is out of a marriage union that birth comes. And I am not married, nor have I never been with a man. So how can something like what you are describing happening to me? And so the first reaction is the impossibility of it. And then the second reaction, we immediately, like Mary, begin to list all the reasons why this won't work. We began, she immediately said, how, and then she said, you know what, Gabriel, you're an angel. And you probably got angel stuff to do. And that means you're probably going to have to get on your way. So I won't hit you with the list of all the reasons why not. She said, I'm going to do you a favor. I'm just going to hit you with my top one. Because that right there blows it out the water. And my top one is, how can something like that happen for someone like me, seeing as though I've never known a man? Mary just tells him, she said, hey, I'm not, this can't be. I don't want to deny it. I don't want to, she said, I don't know what I want to do, but my initial reaction is that this is impossible. One, it's never been done before that I know of. And number two, it certainly won't happen for someone like me. Can I get a witness? Here it is, verse 35. So the angel answered, said to her, here it is, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. And therefore also, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. So the angel Gabriel begins to explain to Mary, and by extension, all of us, That's why I said this message is for everybody. He explains to Mary, this is how God works. Okay? This is the sermon. If you get this, you got the sermon. It's right here in verse 30. He explains to Mary. He said, look, Mary, this is how I got it. I hear what you're saying. I'm with it. I understand. Here's my response. His response is, let me tell you how God works. Okay? So this is how God works. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. If you got your own Bible, underline it twice. Because that's how God works. God works first by moving by His Spirit. That's how He works. Anytime God works, His Spirit always moves in front of you. You follow what I'm saying? And so the angel tells Mary, this is how God works. The very first step in God's process of doing the impossible is that the Holy Spirit will come upon you, right? And then after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, He brings with Him supernatural power. Look at someone and tell them that God's got power. Might I remind you that Acts 1 and 8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. With the Spirit of God comes the power of God. This is how God works, church, is that He moves by His Spirit first. And in conjunction with the moving of His Spirit, the Spirit of God, comes the power of God. The Spirit of God sets everything in motion. Then it is the power of God that brings it to pass. Look at somebody and tell them, this is how God works. This is how God causes regular people to do supernatural things in this world. He does it by moving first with His Spirit, and then His Spirit releasing the very power of God. The child that Mary was to give birth would be conceived by the Holy Spirit, not a man. Therefore, Jesus would be both divine and human. AKA, He would be the God-man. Are you with me this Sunday morning? Theologians describe this process as the hypostatic union. Okay? The hypostatic union. And that is the combining of a divine nature with a human nature perfectly into one person. Okay? Let me say it again. There's nothing wrong with learning something on Sunday, right? There's no rule against that. Theologians describe this as hypostatic union. And this is the combining of a divine nature, okay? The Son of God, the second person in the Trinity, and a human nature, the baby Jesus, right? Into one person. Jesus Christ is God, meaning He's divine. And in the flesh, He is what? Human. And as a result, He would be called the Son of God. Are you with me? And that Son of God is important because Son is what? A human term. All right? He's Son because He's human, but He's also God. Okay? Fully developed, not some watered down version of God or some diluted version. No, He's all God. And as He grew as a young boy into manhood, we realized that he was all man. You follow what I'm saying? And Gabriel tells Mary that He will be called the Son of God. He is the hypostatic union in one. He is both God and man. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad that He is both God and man. I'm so glad because he's God enough to be able to save us from our sins. But he's man enough to also be a kinsman redeemer. To be a kinsman redeemer means a related or like type of redeemer. So he knows what it's like to be you and I. Why? Because he's human. But he also knows what it's like to be God and is therefore able to save us from our sins. Here it is, verse 36 and 7. Here it is. He says, now, continues, he said, your cousin Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. No one would have a problem with Mary becoming pregnant because she was of the age, she was of childbearing age. Now, obviously, she was up against a social backlash that would be out of this world, but it wouldn't shock anyone because she was of childbearing age. But her cousin Elizabeth, on the other hand, was not. She had passed that season in her life, and now she, with everyone else, had assumed the thinking and the belief that she would remain barren for the rest of her life. So here it is. It said, your cousin Elizabeth has conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. Verse 37, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Now here it is. Gabriel now gives a witness to Mary and said, the witness is your own cousin Elizabeth. Just like I'm telling you that God is calling you to give birth, he has also called your cousin Elizabeth to give birth as well. Not to the Messiah himself, but to his forerunner, John the Baptist. And so he told Mary, he said, you can write her or text her or send a donkey message over to her, but what you will find out is that God is doing a new thing in her life. The woman who was once called, labeled, or depicted as being forever barren is now conceived and with child. I just want to remind my church that with God, all things are possible. All things are possible in season and out of season. All things are possible whether you're young in age or up in age. Yet with God, whenever he calls you to give birth to a thing, you've got to understand that God can do it. Help me preach a little bit and just look at somebody and tell them, don't believe what they called you. They called Elizabeth barren. Wherever she went, they always pointed out, that's the woman there who can have no children. That's the woman there. Yes, she's married to the high priest. Yes, she's got a place of honor in the fellowship. But they didn't honor her for that. They labeled her as one who is barren. And so that's why I want you to get this. If you're going to give birth to anything, you can't believe what people call you. I wish I could give just a little help. I know it's Mother's Day and you got to get there. I'm going to help you get there. I just want to do it so that when you get there, you're ready to give birth. And the first thing you got to realize is you got to turn off the naysayers. Turn off the volume. To everyone that says it is impossible, turn off the voices that saying it's no way for someone like you to even think about doing something like that. You're too old. You're too young. You're too black. You're too white. You're too poor. You're too bad. No way in hell you'll ever. Look at somebody and say, don't believe it. When God calls you to give birth, many people will say many things, but don't believe what they say about you. The former things are passed away, and behold, some will call you crazy. Some will call you stupid. Some will say you lost your mind. It doesn't matter what some say. It only matters what God. And God said, behold, I will do a new thing in you. Somebody give him a praise right now. Give birth to it. Push it out. It's not over. It's not too late. Give birth to it. Yes. Yes again. Yes to his word. Yes to his will. Touch your neighbor and say, give birth to it. Everybody in the sanctuary, in the overflow, streaming online, put your hand on your belly, look up to God and shout, give birth to it. Give birth to it. Push it out. Don't let it die in your belly. Push that dream out. Push that promise out. God will do. Woo! You can do it. You can do it. With the help of the Lord, you'll do it. Here it is. Verse 38. And then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to thy word. Get this. When Mary said that, look at the text. It was then that the angel departed. If God calls you to give birth, no matter what it is, the most easiest context for many of us is to think of human birth. But like I said at the beginning, I want to expand your thinking. Because many of you have a dream, a vision, locked up inside of you. And the only reason it's not going anywhere or you are doing anything is because you have failed to respond to the call to give birth to it. The seed is already inside of you. Mary was of the belief. Mary understood that about biology. She understood that. She said, yeah, I know I have an egg, but I don't have the other main ingredient. Listen to what I'm about to say. Like Mary, many of us believe that in order to get your dream going, you need the help of a man. And because you don't have it, you deem your dream dead in your womb. Just like Mary. Mary said, how can this be? Seeing as though I don't have a man. But at least Mary stayed open to the possibility that maybe I don't need a man. Maybe all I need is God. That's all Gabriel told her. He said the seed's already been planted. And to give birth to it, all you need is God. That's all he gave her. He said, the Spirit of the Holy One shall come upon you. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Gabriel said, that's all it takes. That's all it takes, Mary. You don't need Joseph. Nor do you need anyone like Joseph. Let me preach to my real church. The seed of what God wants to birth through you is already inside you. And every week you keep telling God why you can't. I don't have this. I don't have that. I never did this. I never went here. I don't nobody in this and nobody in that. And just I'm going to close out my message with this. And I want you to hear me good. This is how you respond to the call of God. When he wants to birth something through you. Mary said, behold, I'm the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Here it is, and I'm done. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. With that, Mary said, I'm available. That's what she told Gabriel before he left. She said, Gabriel, I'm the maidservant. I'm at his beck and call. That's all she said. She said, I'm available. Then she said, be thou, let it be to me according to your word. She accepted the call. Watch this. Watch this. I'm not sure she believed it. I may be wrong. This is my personal opinion. I don't think she was fully convinced. But even though she may have been unsure, she made herself available and she accepted the call of God on her life. Let it be to me according, not my word, Not what my mom is going to say when I tell her about you. Not what my father and his friends are going to say. Not what the folks at the church. No, let it be according to your word. Accept it. I'm not sure she wanted it. I'm not sure it was something she was looking forward to. I'm not sure it was something she ever imagined happening in her life. But she said, what? I'll accept it. Then after that, it says the angel left. She made herself available. She accepted the call. And then she placed her assurance in God. Because Gabriel would have never left if she didn't believe God could do it. Once he heard that, once he felt that, he said, my job is done. Right now, God will do the rest. I don't have to give her another witness. I don't have to tell her all the things. No. All he gave her was one witness. Said, call her when you get time. I'm here to prove to you, God is about to do something awesome in your life. And all you got to do is make yourself available. All you got to do is accept the call. And all you got to do is have assurance in God. And he'll do the rest. Who am I speaking to this Mother's Day? Who here have dreams, visions, ideas, and concepts locked up in your bosom? Every now and again when we talk, you let a little slip out. That's how I know you're pregnant. But you have convinced yourself that your baby is dead. And I'm here to tell you that it's not. Your dream is not dead. Your hope is not dead. You are not dead. And most importantly, neither is your God. He's yet alive. And he's just waiting for someone to say, here am I, Lord. I'm available. I'll accept the call. Place my assurance in you. Church, that's how you respond to the call to give birth. Shall we stand everywhere? My hope and my prayer for you this morning is that this word of God would once again stir up every dead hope. Every dead dream. Everything that you've locked up and put in the back of the closet. Confident that it'll never come to pass. May God by this word stir it up again. May God by this word stir you up to good works. May God stir up your faith in him. May God stir up his spirit in you. And I pray that this week, every night that you go to bed, this is my prayer, that the power of God would overshadow you. That while you're asleep, unconscious, contributing nothing to the effort, that God, by his own power, would begin to do something new in your life. I'm here to tell you, you're not too old. You're not too young. You're not too much of a woman. You're not too much of this or not enough of that. He's got you right where he wanted you. So that when God brings it to pass and you finally push it out and all the world is aghast. Look at her. Who would have ever thought she came out of nowhere? I never.
never knew you were working on that. I never knew you had this. I never knew you had.
Then you just tell them, this is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our sight.
I didn't do this. The Spirit of the Lord came upon me. The power of the Most High overshadowed me. All I did was respond to the call to give birth. God did the rest. You're here with us this Sunday morning. God is calling you to be birthed into the kingdom of God. He wants to revive you again. He wants to reclaim you back to himself. Now that you've heard the preached word of God, God wants to know, are you available? He wants to know, will you accept his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your Savior? He wants to know, will you put your faith in him? Not in another man, not in another woman, not in a job, not in a government, but in him. Will you trust God with your life? And if you do, I'm telling you, he's going to birth something in you that neither you nor the world has ever seen before. Isaiah said he's going to do a new thing. Never been done before. Never even been thought of before. Never even been imagined before. You know why? Because it's locked up inside of you. Whatever you do this Mother's Day, don't allow that baby to die in your womb. Whatever it takes, give birth to it. Don't let it die inside of you. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege that is ours to be gathered in the house of God, among the people of God, centered in around the word of God. Thank you for this encouraging word. Lord, help us to respond even as your mother responded to you. Here I am, manservant, maid servant of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. Lord, we love you. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God the best. Come on, give him your best. Come on, give him your best. Find a way. Give him your best. Your best. Your best praise. Your best praise. Your best praise. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for what's inside of me. Thank you for not letting it die. Thank you. I'll birth it. I'll give it birth. I'll push it out.
I enjoyed that word. I enjoyed that word. That was a word. Not only for the women, yes, but that was a word for everyone in the house of God. Every believer in the house of God. Amen. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. We are transitioning to the time of giving. We gather to worship through giving at this time. This morning, you may give through one of three ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, or also by using the U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text, text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com
/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send a check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. For those gathered with us in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets next to the side ramp door, one for your tithes and offerings and one for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the basket as you exit the sanctuary. And as always, we thank you for your continued support of this ministry. The pastor and the leadership team would like to thank you for joining us as we reopen the church. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us in worship from home if you so choose. When you decide to join us for in-person worship, please take your temperature before leaving your home and bring a mask to wear. If you or someone in your family has had contact with anyone who has the COVID-19 virus, we encourage you to please stay home. The church van is back in operation. Yes, yes, woohoo! So please call Brother Sean Kimball directly. If you don't have his number, please call the church or contact us via our website on Friday before service, to request pickup and transportation for that next Sunday service. We are seeking volunteers to serve as passenger assistants to help riders on and off the church van. Additionally, drivers are welcome. If you are interested, yes, if you are interested in serving in this capacity, please contact Deacon Todd McCoy directly or the church via our website. We need your assistance to ensure our transportation is safe and enjoyable for everyone. Turning the Tide Spring Fundraising Campaign. Woo! May marks the start of Turning the Tide Spring Fundraising Campaign. I have been working hard with the Tide staff and our partners and volunteers to get Tide's programs up and running after so many months, indeed more than a year, of being constrained or even having to cease some programs temporarily. But now, as we have made adjustments to accommodate for safety measures because COVID-19 is still with us, we are excited to be finally reopening the church. But with that, we are also initiating our spring campaign, because to do that, we do need support, financial support. We're asking everyone in Taylor Nation to financially support Turning the Tide, as you've done in the past. Our target for this particular fundraiser, which runs through the end of the month, is $50,000. All of Tide's programs are offered to participants at no cost, and every dollar donated helps us continue impacting the lives of underserved residents throughout the Cobbs Creek, Southwest, and West Philadelphia community. You can make your donation via the Turning the Tide website at www.turningthetidephilly.org or by U.S. mail by sending your donation to P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19131. We are excited about this upcoming season at Turning the Tide, and we look forward to sharing more about our programs and services during the next few weeks as this campaign continues. The garden at Turning the Tide, which, as the pastor mentioned, is on the property of the church right behind. Many of us, if not all of us, have worked in the garden. On May 15th and May 22nd, immediately following service, I invite you to join me and the rest of the volunteers and staff in the garden, because there are a number of things that need to be done. First, we need to finish placing the soil in the four front beds. Now, I think we might be just about finished doing that. But the remaining soil needs to be placed around the beds, not in the beds, but around the beds. We need to finish painting the trellis. I wasn't here on one Sunday. There was another service that I was attending with some church friends, and my son came home plastered in red. And I was I was like, oh my goodness, you know, did you cut yourself? Did you, bleed? He was like, no, I was painting the trellis. So, you know, it took a little bit to get the rest of that paint off, but, he apparently enjoyed it, maybe enjoyed it a little too much, but the trellis needs, there's another trellis up there that needs to continue being painted. I've done some trellis painting. I've done painting of the beds. It is kind of fun. It's good to kind of get your hands in there. So we encourage those who are, willing, especially the younger ones. We need help doing that. We need to finish installing the irrigation system in the front four beds. And finally, we will begin planting seeds and seedlings in the garden bed. Woo! Because we know shortly after that, that means it's time to harvest, which we all enjoy. So come and be a part of what's growing in the garden at Turning the Tide. Amen. If you have a prayer request, please visit our website, www.taylortabernacle.com, and go to our prayer request page, or you can call our church at 215-748-4578 and leave a voicemail so that we can respond to you. Finally, remember to hit subscribe right there on the YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you can remain informed and up to date with all of our upcoming gatherings and activities. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address, and we will be sure to add you to the distribution list. That concludes the announcements. Please conduct yourselves accordingly, and I am going to ask Pastor Ford to join me for the benediction. Amen.
God bless you. Shall we all stand? Thank you for being a faithful audience another Sunday, both in person and online. Happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers that are out there. This is your day, and may you be blessed. Hey, before we conclude the service, or after we conclude the service, we have Mother's Day gifts for every mother in attendance. Amen. We'll get it up on the camera. Let them see it. This is for every mother in attendance. So Jermaine and I will step down. Minister Norm is bringing out the bags. Be sure to get your Mother's Day gift. Just a simple way of saying that we love you and that we appreciate you. Now unto him that is able to present us faultless before the Heavenly Father and his holy angels, consecrate us and keep us. Set us against the great day of your return. Purify us and make us holy. And as the body of Christ, make us one. And cause the love of God to ever flow through us and out of us and into this world. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody in Taylor Nation, say amen. 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 God bless you, Taylor. We'll see you next Sunday.